Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, and Department of Veteran Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now the host of Minnesota Military Radio Hour, Tom Lyons.
Good morning and welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we're live from Craigens Resort, Gull Lake, from the dining room. We're up here this weekend for the Yellow Ribbon Rendezvous, and we're having a good time, and we're going to talk about that, and we've got a special co-host and a lot of good guests today. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Serving our troops has done it again. Yesterday, 2,700 Minnesota National Guard soldiers stationed at five bases in Kuwait sat down to a steak dinner. And a half a world away at the same time, their families sat down to a steak lunch at the River Center in St. Paul. Serving our troops was formed by a group of community and business leaders in St. Paul with a common interest in supporting military families. Since 2004, they have served over 55,000 steak dinners to soldiers and families around the world. They have served dinners in Kosovo, Iraq, Kuwait, Camp Shelby, Fort Sill, Fort McCoy, and here in Minnesota. When talking about what they do, organizers like to say, it's a simple thing, dinner with family. But I'm here to tell you, it's much more than a dinner. This most recent project, their ninth one, was their biggest ever. They coordinated a picnic area in an unprecedented five Kuwait locations complete with grills, entertainment, and Skype capabilities. They found 50 volunteers, many of who are expert at grilling steaks, and also to pay their own way to Kuwait. Then back here in Minnesota, families gathered together for dinner with their service members thanks to technology. Families were also treated to live entertainment, kids' activities, and free tickets to the Science Museum and Children's Museum. I've had an opportunity to take part in some of these fine meals, once with my family in St. Paul before deploying, and again with my soldiers while serving in Basra, Iraq. Serving our troops provides a great morale booster for soldiers and families. Congratulations and thank you on this latest project. For more information on this great Minnesota institution, visit servingourtroops.com.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. As we said, we are live from the dining room at Craigens Resort in Gull Lake. We've been up here all weekend for the Yellow Ribbon Rendezvous. My co-host for today's show is the former Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard and the current Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Larry Shelledo.
Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Commissioner. We just heard about serving our troops, and that all started on your watch, didn't it?
Well, that is true. These fine citizens of the great state of Minnesota, but they have been all over. And it's and what I got to describe, though, is because one of the comments was we're at a national, in Washington, D.C., where they received a national award. And a lot of people were thinking, all right, they're serving steak dinners, so it's going to be a simple little steak. And you could hear the whole place, and there's about 1,000 people there. Just all of a sudden get silent when they see one of those 12-ounce Mancini steaks, and they go, wow, this is real world. So the bar was set high, and actually the head of the National Guard nationally specifically was very pleased that we could take this group out there because they set a bar that was extremely high, and he used that to motivate the rest of the nation. So I'm very, very proud of these heroes.
And hopefully a little later in the show, we're trying to get a call to Pat Harris from Serving Our Troops. They're on the way back from Kuwait, and if we can get through to them, we'll see what happen, what it takes to take 13,000 steaks halfway around the world and feed the troops at five camps.
Yeah, and you know, and Pat Harris is an awesome gentleman because he and one of the few people I know that can get two senators and governor and congressmen and women serving the troops so forth. It's just been phenomenal.
Commissioner, we're going to have a busy show, an exciting show, and we've got a couple of announcements coming up. We'll have one about some changes on the radio program, and Colonel St. Sauver is going to join us, and we'll talk about that.
Okay.
And, And there's, speaking of awards, there's a little something else we have to talk about later on in the show.
What's that?
Well, we'll get to that, Commissioner. We'll get to that, sir.
It better be good.
I think it's going to be a good one.
Okay.
But before that, as we said, we're live from Cragin's, and we're up here for the first little, or for the first Yellow Ribbon Rendezvous. And joining us now is Catherine Statka on behalf of Dutch and Irma, Cragin's. And what a great job you've done up here for the weekend. A lot of folks up here, and we've also got the 133rd Airlift Wing. Catherine, you've done a great job. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about Cragin's?
Hey, good morning, Tom. And it's an honor sitting next to you, sir, Commissioner. We have the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon committee here from all over the state of Minnesota. And as a volunteer myself, I was able to be a guest of Cragin's. And I got to say that everybody does such a great job here. And now I see why everybody keeps coming here. Because from check-in to check-out, conference services, everybody does a great job here. Lots to do for the families, as everybody found out yesterday. A lot to do here at the resort, from activities. I look around the room here, and over the past couple of years of being a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon volunteer, I've met so many wonderful friends. I see them all at the table here ready to go on the air. Colonel and Mike and Rick from the Patriot Guard, Steve. I mean, it's a pleasure, Major, to have met everybody here, Tom.
And, Catherine, what we did was we invited volunteers from the Yellow Ribbon Networks from all over the state to gather for this weekend for a family fun weekend. And as you say, at Cragin's, there's good food and nice rooms, and we had trolley rides and dog sled rides, ice bowling, magic. And some of the volunteers partook in some karaoke. But we were gathered together, Commissioner, to bring those all those volunteers together to network and trade some ideas. And how do you think we did, Commissioner?
You did outstanding. I think at that opening session, yesterday morning, when you were around the table identifying the best practices and so forth, and then the networking that was taking place and understanding also the tools that you've developed that are available to them to do something about, not just identifying a problem, but actually having pathways to solving those problems, and knowing where they can go, who they can see, and so forth.
Yeah, Commissioner, in the next segment, we'll have from Washington County, Steve Campos, and we'll also have Mike Farron from the Family Assistance Centers up to dig into that a little bit. But, Catherine, from an event coordination standpoint, you did a fantastic job, but also you participated. You are a Yellow Ribbon volunteer.
I did. And again, you know, just working with our own staff here at Cragin's, they did a wonderful job. As part of that meeting yesterday, too, it was wonderful to hear the rewards that we get back when we do help out the military families on the deployed spouses. So even here at Cragin's, we've got someone close to us that has reaped some of those benefits from the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Yeah. So I feel so proud to be part of this, and I know Dutch and Irma Cragin, if they were here, they wanted me to tell you thank you and for allowing us to do this event this weekend.
And Tom, if I may, the venue was absolutely perfect. The weather was, even with the lack of snow, we're looking out over the lake now, and it's just beautiful. It's relaxing. It's calming. But what's most interesting, and I'm sure even Colonel St. Sauver will talk about this, is the troops, when they're overseas, this is what they miss. This is what they think about. This is what they want to come home to. The beautiful, yeah. Minnesota, if you will. And so to have a weekend like this is I just want to say thank you.
Oh, you bet. And, you know, we can't forget Yvonne Zappa. I mean, I've worked with Yvonne for so many years here, and she's a wonderful person. She silently does her work in the Family Assistance Center. So thank you, Yvonne.
I'd just like to add that Dutch is a veteran, and he's supported a lot of veterans' events here at Cragin's, and what a great venue. And while the sun's coming up, Commissioner, we can see the lake. It looks a little windy and snowy today, but I'd like to thank Dutch and Irma for hosting this event.
You bet. And Memorial Weekend, folks, we do on Sunday, the Memorial Weekend Day, we do another family event here for all the military troops and families, silent auction. So if you miss this one, please come on out and join us on Memorial Weekend, because we'd like to have you. And I got to touch on our ice bowling, because people have no idea. When we say trolley rides, we have Clydesdale horses, and they're horse-drawn trolley rides here at Cragin's. Ice bowling is a new thing we created here, where you put mom or dad in a saucer, and you got bowling pins at the end of the ice, and you actually push Mom and Dad on the saucer and knock down the bowling pin. So it's a real big hit. And yesterday, the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon families really had a good time.
I wish the listeners could see the twinkle in your eye when you're talking about that, Catherine. Well, it's been a great event, and you've been a great hostess for us. And when we come back, we'll bring in Steve Campos from Washington County Yellow Ribbon and Mike Farron from Family Assistance Centers. Once again, we're live from the dining room at Cragen's Resort on Gull Lake. This is Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. I'm here with my co-host for the day, the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Larry Shelido. And Commissioner, joining us now, we have a retired Chief Master Sergeant for the United States Air Force and the chair of the Washington County Yellow Ribbon, Steve Campos.
And an outstanding individual also.
Good morning. Good morning, Tom. Good morning, Commissioner. Just want to say I'm very proud to serve under you when I was at Joint Force Headquarters.
He's an outstanding individual.
It is, and we've got to get him a bigger microphone, a headset. Look out.
Chief? It's growing. The head is growing, yes.
Yeah.
Chief, you did a lot of work for this weekend for the Yellow Ribbon Rendezvous, and a lot of it was around a questionnaire and some networking and trading some ideas, and we had a pretty good session yesterday morning. We probably could have gone a little longer, but it was a family weekend, too. What did we learn? How did we do? How did it look from your standpoint as Chief of the Yellow County or Washington County Yellow Ribbon?
Well, first of all, what was interesting is even though we had plenty of folks there representing quite a few of the Yellow Ribbon networks, they actually stayed after the session was done to continue networking almost an hour after it was done.
They did.
That was amazing because I can see they want to create some synergy, want to find out what other folks are doing, and finding the best practices and even overcoming barriers.
And what kind of information did you gather? And you're going to go out and share it with all of the Yellow Ribbon networks across the state, aren't you?
Absolutely. Before I get into what I learned, I'll do is compile the information on each of the questions and then also send that questionnaire to the other Yellow Ribbon networks who weren't able to make it and gather their information also, compile it, and send it back out in a nice uniform way so that everyone can learn. A few of the things that we found out is we wanted to know, for instance, how many times they meet a month. We wanted to know if they knew their FAC, which is the Family Assistance Center, and Mike will talk about that in a little bit. But also give us a couple examples of some of the great things that they've done so that other Yellow Ribbon networks can see what others have done and actually validate that they are doing the right thing also.
And they had a lot of suggestions, a lot of stories, a lot of ideas. There's a lot of folks there with big hearts that are working very hard to support the families, aren't they?
They certainly are. And, you know, I think we could have spent 8 hours out there collecting all that information. There's so much. But it was it's a nice start. I don't think anywhere else in the nation, I believe, have done something like this to bring folks together from the Yellow Ribbon networks or communities that are help serving our folks, deployed soldiers, and especially the families who are left behind.
And Chief, a lot of those Yellow Ribbon Network volunteers learned about other resources available that maybe they didn't know about before too, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, even some of the small things such as different types of t-shirts, logos, patches, and then also resources. You know, a lot of times you might think that they know all the resources, but getting together, there's a lot of aha moments that happened yesterday that they found out that they could use this, and we're going to try to do a one-stop shop where we can put all that information in one place and they can access it so they can help their own networks, you know, reach to that next level to take care of the families.
Well, Chief, you did a lot of work with us to help put this together and to pull it off, and those questionnaires and the rest of the work is in front of you to compile that and share it with the Yellow Ribbon Network. So I want to thank you for coming up and joining us and for all your hard work.
Absolutely. Thank you. It was a great pleasure. Take care, sir.
Yeah. One thing nice about Steve is he's also he's a very, very modest individual, but he's a center of gravity, if you will. We're at one of our state universities with a veterans center working with the veterans. There's a great number of veterans who are going back to college and so forth, and he's right there working with them, helping them get in the system and doing well.
Once again, this is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour live from the dining room at Cragen's Resort on Gull Lake on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. And joining us now is the supervisor of the Family Assistance Centers for Minnesota, Mike Farron. Mike, welcome to the show.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for having me.
You thought that, I know we've talked about this, a lot of folks came up to you after those networking sessions yesterday, and what did you learn? What did you find out?
You know, it was just an amazing event, so because we don't a lot of times get to meet face-to-face with the Yellow Ribbon volunteers from our group, from the Family Assistance Centers, and it was really fantastic just to get to meet them, hear their stories, why they're involved, and the passion of in the room was fantastic. And, you know, my team has that passion as well, so we need to make sure that we're merging and connecting and continuing networking together to continue building that network so that it sustains far beyond any deployments or anything like that in the community, so we continue to network together.
And Commissioner, I think a lot of those folks maybe didn't understand that there's the family readiness guides, and then there's the county veteran service officers and the family assistance center, and there's a whole series of resources available to help the families today, isn't there?
Yeah. But, you know, I oftentimes use the analogy, and for the pheasant hunters in the audience, they all know what I'm talking about when I say bird dogging. The Yellow Ribbon community is out there, and they're doing the critical component of meeting, greeting, and valuing our returning veterans. But they also discover that some of them may have some needs, and the referral system, the network, the safety nets that are available to them. We have the county veteran service officer. There shouldn't be a veteran in the state of Minnesota that hasn't sat down with a county veteran service officer. There's some immediate needs that the Family Assistance Center can help them with. So there's one thing to know about a problem, but knowing about the tools to solve that problem or get someone started on that is absolutely critical. And I don't know, maybe you have some examples of how you were able to partner with Yellow Ribbon and then take it the rest of the way.
We do partner with them all the time, and we use them as an in to get those family members out in the community that we may have not connected with yet. Case in point, I know that in Washington County, they're fantastic. They will go to the Family Assistance Center that we have located in Stillwater. Jill Munson works there for me, and Steve Campos talks to her all the time. We're collecting data on families that we may have not had before, some of the onesie twosies that may not be, you know, from all the different services, which has been great. We get them, you know, case in point, service member may be deployed and spouse is at home and the water heater goes out. You know, they may talk to Steve, and Steve can then refer them to us. We can document it in our system, make sure we're tracking everything correctly. We can use the Minnesota Military Family Foundation to help financial emergencies to get that through. And then the connection or the bridge is gapped there. There's a trend and a process to help those folks. And it's a quick trend and process, which is the key, is getting that stuff fixed and letting them know that somebody's there to care and help for them.
Commissioner, this is a lot different than it was 40 years ago when we came back from Vietnam, but now we've got the Yellow Ribbon networks there helping the families, and they coordinate with the Family Assistance Centers and Minnesota Military Family Foundation. There's a lot of support available for our troops and their families today, isn't there?
Absolutely critical, because I truly believe this. If you don't solve it up front, you're going to wait 40 years and it's going to resurface. I mean, this is preventive maintenance. It's taking care of people up front so that they can get on with their lives. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of documentation I could show people if they are skeptics in what I'm saying that says, no, take care of it up front, because it won't get any better with age.
Commissioner, things have changed. I can remember basic training. The drill instructor told me if we wanted you to have a wife, we'd have issued you one. But today the military is not only taking care of the troops, but they're really taking care of their families.
Yeah, and there's the right way, the wrong way, and the Army's way.
But it's a good thing they didn't issue me one, because I found a great one afterwards. Steve, any final thoughts about the Family Assistance Center? How do they reach out to you? Mike, excuse me.
Well, they can reach us anytime, 24/7 at 888-234-1274. That's our 800 number, and they'll be routed directly to their closest Family Assistance Center. And please, 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 don't wait to ask for help. That's what we're there for, and we're 100% confidential, so please don't wait. Reach out.
Mike, I don't know how I can confuse you with Chief Campos, but it's Mike Farron, the supervisor of the Family Assistance Centers.
I'm not sure how to take that.
Well, we'll put the two of you side by each, and we'll take a photograph and see what happens.
All right.
This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, live from Cragans Resort on Gull Lake. We'll be back with some exciting news about some changes on the Minnesota Military Radio, and with Colonel St. Sauer, the commander of Camp Ripley. Please stay with us. We'll be back shortly. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, here with my co-host, the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Larry Shelido. And joining us in a moment is Colonel Scott St. Sauer, the commander of Camp Ripley. But first, let's visit this week's Supporter Troops Showcase and discuss how one soldier teamed up with Lupus Foundation of Minnesota while deployed in Kuwait. After Specialist Joe LeCaire met his wife, Jessica, he saw firsthand the life-altering effects of the autoimmune disease lupus. Jessica was diagnosed 22 years ago, well before the two met. Though she was limited in what she was physically able to do, Joe was convinced it didn't change anything between them. To show his support for Jessica, Joe completed the Lupus Walk for Hope and 5K run in 2010. It was a great experience, and he swore he'd never miss the event again. However, a deployment to Kuwait quickly threatened that promise. That's when Joe decided to create his own awareness event. After coordinating with the Lupus Foundation of Minnesota and the USO, Joe lined up the Lupus 5K run in Kuwait. He wanted to raise awareness among his comrades while showing his wife that she had his full support. On a chilly morning in the desert near Kuwait City, Joe and over 100 other service members completed the race. With Joe scheduled to return this spring, he'll be able to make the 2012 Lupus Walk for Hope and 5K run in Plymouth. This time, he'll be anxious to see Jessica at the finish line. Thank you, Lupus Foundation of Minnesota and the USO, for supporting Minnesota military families and going beyond the yellow ribbon. Beyond the yellow ribbon is a comprehensive program that creates awareness, connecting service members and their families with community support, training, services, and resources. To learn how you can make go beyond the yellow ribbon, find the Make a Difference button at beyondtheyellowribbon.org. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, united to bring service members all the way home.
Great story, great story.
Commissioner, joining us now is the commander of Camp Ripley. He's got the best job in the Minnesota National Guard, I think, Colonel Scott St. Sauer.
You know, I'm going to say that. That is an absolutely true statement.
Good morning. Yeah, it is. I'm going to admit it is the best job in the Minnesota Guard.
Now, what's the size of your backyard?
53,000 acres, okay. And it's a nice backyard.
Do you go deer hunting?
I do.
All right.
And one family lives there year-round.
Yes.
They do, my wife and I.
And it's a great multi-purpose facility. It's not just the Minnesota National Guard.
Absolutely. It's a multi-use facility for all kinds of entities in the state of Minnesota. It certainly services many of our partners in the state of Minnesota, the Department of Natural Resources, the Highway Patrol, the Department of Transportation, and many other local and regional law enforcement and emergency service organizations, as well as our work with the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts, the local communities, the Morrison County Water Initiatives, anything that deals with the environment and the area of central Minnesota, you can bet that Camp Ripley's involved.
Now, Camp Ripley, how do they rate nationally on the environment?
We are the number one organization in the many times over, nationally awarded. In fact, just received another national award for our environmental
service. So this is the third award right now?
This will be our third, sir, yes.
All right.
Colonel, we've got a little announcement we're going to make in a few minutes about that's going to affect Camp Ripley. But before that, you and one of your family members have been very active in the Yellow Ribbon networks up here, haven't you?
We sure have. My son Blake, we had the opportunity to bring Blake on and work with the Yellow Ribbon Network, and he actually has expanded. What we realized right away when I came to Camp Ripley is that Camp Ripley needed to be its own network. It needed to help the communities and help the way the Yellow Ribbon Network was built. So what we did is we created an area where we brought the people in, and we're an area of resources. Everyone recognizes Camp Ripley as an area of resources, so I want to take advantage of that. We want to help those units and communities with their programs while we build our own, and then link all those resources that are needed together.
And I understand you've had a number of events over at Cragans. Dutch has been pretty helpful over the years.
Yeah, Dutch has been very helpful. That's an understatement. Dutch has been it's been fantastic. Dutch and Irma have been great supporters. We brought them down to Camp Ripley. They've been down there. We've been up here in this area a lot, supporting the units, of course, that are currently deployed with the Brigade Combat Team, but also the smaller units and the individual deployers. That's the thing about Camp Ripley that's unique. It's not just unit-centric. It's guard and actually military-centric. With 22,000 veterans in the six-county area around Camp Ripley, there's a lot of military influence in central Minnesota. And everybody recognizes Camp Ripley as that place to go if they have a question, if they have somewhere to seek out information, and then we hook them up with their local Yellow Ribbon Network.
We are live from the dining room at Craigan's Resort on Gull Lake. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Colonel, I know that upcoming, I think, at Camp Ripley, you've got a number of units coming from many states that are going to train here. You've got a lot of logistics to handle out at Camp Ripley, don't you?
We're very busy. We'll be starting. Obviously, we just finished our 39th year with the Norwegian Exchange, and we just sent them home. And now we'll turn towards our state and federal partners, and we have a number of units coming in from outstate. We'll actually have a brigade combat team coming from Illinois this summer, as well as Georgia, as well as the 2nd Brigade, now home from the Iowa National Guard, will be up this summer, as well as all the units of the Minnesota National Guard. So people in the area can certainly will recognize Camp Ripley as this expansion. What used to be a three-month summer training period is now well into a nine-month rotation and busy year-round.
It's a beautiful state asset.
It is. Absolutely. The state, we're just getting ready to open an emergency management training center at Camp Ripley, which will help all of our local levels of government all the way up to state levels of government practice their emergency management techniques and plans. And that's going to be a very big asset for the state of Minnesota to bring those folks in and actually practice on emergency operations before they ever occur.
But, you know, not only a state asset, but maybe you can just quickly talk about your international influence.
Yes, sir. We have a lot of international influence with our state partnership with Croatia, obviously, and with Norway. Also, the Canadian forces train here quite often. In fact, they're down last weekend, and they'll be coming back through the spring and summer. So that's a continual flavor of what we do in support of our forces, both state and federally.
Yeah. Now, he just came back from 2 weeks in Norway. In a hardship training environment.
And we're going to have him on another show and talk about what he learned over there. But I've had the honor to visit Camp Ripley several times and listen to Colonel St. Sauber speak, and you're a great speaker. But what a wonderful facility, and I never dreamed how busy it was. And state of the art, my goodness. Mm-hmm. You've improved it over the years. Mm-hmm. And I know, Commissioner, for all the years you were Adjutant General, that camp's come a long way, hasn't it?
Actually, it's very good, we're seeing the net result of the positioning. If I could fly you, or Scott could take you over Camp Ripley and see the layout of the training that was designed really by the troops. Mm-hmm. They came back and they said, "Here's the experiences that we've had overseas, and here's what we need to replicate at Camp Ripley." And they did the work. And the beauty of these upper Midwest brain children is they do it in a very cost-effective way.
And Colonel, one other very important, excuse me, Commissioner, I didn't mean to interrupt. No. One other very important issue is on these deployments that we've had the last 10 years, because you've got the state-of-the-art training facility that you do, the troops don't have to go half a country away to train anymore, do they?
No, and that's a very good point. The idea is that we want to train our soldiers more at home, cutting down the time that they spend away from the family when they leave and they deploy. And our new training models definitely do that. And Camp Ripley has been recently identified in the National Guard as one of the regional training centers to do that capability. So what you should expect to see is these larger type units coming to Camp Ripley at about the second year of their cycle to do these large events, and then do most of their training at home. That way it cuts down the time they spend at a mobilization platform to deploy or to go overseas. So that's very important for us, and we are very much the largest state-owned base in the National Guard inventory, as well as the seventh overall largest in the inventory. So we have all the capabilities that an active duty base has, but we have it in the northern portion of the United States, which is pretty critical for all of us.
So for our Minnesota National Guard troops, they not only can train closer to home and be with their families longer, but they also go through some training to so that the families understand programs available, such as the Yellow Ribbon Network.
Absolutely. That's the integrated piece. That's the part where we again are supporting the Yellow Ribbon Network in anything that their goals want to meet. If we can centralize some of those things for them for certain meetings or certain events, we'll do that. If there's things we can do for families in the entire central Minnesota area, we'll do that. It can be the simplest. It can be very complex. The Camp Ripley is built to handle those kinds of things and has the people on staff to be able to do that. Now, you link those networks together. Just imagine the strength that you gain.
And it's got to be comforting, Commissioner, to know that, as we said 40 years ago, there really wasn't anything.
Oh, no.
But now there's a whole myriad of support there available for the families and the troops. And when the troops are over there, they have to focus on the mission. Mm-hmm. And they can do that better knowing that the Yellow Ribbon Networks are back here taking care of the families, along with the family assistance centers and all of those things.
Absolutely.
Commissioner, we had a couple of announcements on today's program. We're going to get to one of them now, and I know I surprised Colonel Saint Sauveur with this earlier.
Well, I'm interested in these announcements because you've been teasing me for a long time here.
Well, so. Colonel Saint Sauveur is going to
share
one.
He's going to share
the first one with us now.
Well, a very important one for us is we are airing this program on WYRQ FM 92.1 in Little Falls, and Little Falls is going to become a portion of the network carrying the Minnesota Radio Military Radio Hour. So we're very excited to have WYRQ and Rod Grams down in Little Falls carrying this on their program and their station for all of the central Minnesota area.
Q92 will be on there today. They're actually carrying the employment roundtable that we recorded a few weeks ago, but starting next week will be syndicated to Q92, and we're looking to try to reach other parts of the state so that our veterans and our Minnesota National Guard troops can hear this program wherever they live in Minnesota.
Absolutely.
And as we know, the 1st Brigade Combat Team comes from every county, 530 communities, 2,400 Minnesotans. Mm-hmm. And, Commissioner, they're coming home, and some of them are looking for work, aren't they?
They are working, and there's a lot of activities going on there.
We just got about 1 minute left, but when those troops come home, the effort to help them find jobs is focused at the Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development, and it's the website is positivelyminnesota.com/veterans.
And I'm very, very pleased that the National Guard is being proactive, and they're sending a contingent over there as we speak.
They are.
And to get the prep work taken care of and so forth. So they're a captive audience over there, and the key people that are centers of influence are helping them get
right. They're going to get that initial point of contact so that they can come back and then work in their 30 in their reintegration to help them with the higher veterans initiatives.
So any employers out there listening that want to find some dedicated, disciplined people that show up every day and do a good job,
yeah,
go to positivelyminnesota.com/veterans, and they'll show you exactly how to go through that process. Colonel, it's this segment went really quick, but thanks for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio.
Oh, it's always my pleasure.
When we come back, we'll visit with about serving our troops, and we'll have a special visit from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. This is Minnesota Military Radio, live from the dining room at the Craigens Resort on Gull Lake. We'll be back shortly on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130.
Hi, this is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. The number one request of deployed soldiers is take care of my family. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation does just that. We take care of the military family. The foundation helps military families when a family has an unexpected financial crisis. We have replaced or repaired many furnaces and appliances, as well as fixed cars to help get children to school, daycare, or the doctor. And we've paid for the transportation and lodging for the family to visit their soldier in the hospital that may be thousands of miles from home. We help military families with many types of financial needs. I respect military families because of their sacrifices for us, and their volunteering to make sacrifices for us is beautiful. One way you can show your respect and acknowledge the beauty of volunteering is to donate. Go to MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org. Another way is to aggressively say thank you to members of military families. Yes, we as a community do take care of military families. Thank you, military families, and thank you, Twin Cities News Talk.
Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and my co-host for the day is the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Larry Shelledo. Joining us shortly will be Rick Johnson from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard.
Tom, before we go any farther, this has been bugging me all weekend.
Sir?
You said there'd be a couple surprises, you know.
Well, we got one. We got a new radio
syndicate.
I know.
I got one of them, but I can't figure out what the other one. They said, you know, it was kind of neat and kind of a big deal. So it better be good. This had better be good because you got me and my wife just wondering all weekend what's going on.
Well, I got a message from my military producer when I was on the way up here Friday.
Military producer, okay.
Sergeant Houtcooper, you've met him.
Oh, yes.
And he told me, he said, we had to save this for Sunday.
Okay.
And not having been in the National Guard since about 1975, you know, I'm still trying to understand this, but I'm sure you can help me understand.
Well, the public affairs always has a favorite saying. What the general meant to say was.
Well, And this message said, and I'll read it to you, and then maybe you can explain it to me. It said, Tom, congratulations. Best radio information program in the Army National Guard, an organization of more than 300,000 citizen soldiers. This is an announcement from Guard Bureau, from the National Guard Bureau, on the media contest. And it seems that the Minnesota Military Radio Hour has won some kind of an award, sir.
Oh, boy. Woo! Wow. That, you know, this is a big deal. This is a big deal. Because, first of all, it's not just every 50 states. There's also four territories, plus, that are competing for this type of thing. So, and the goal of the National Guard, obviously, is to communicate. As you know, by the way, the National Guard now has a position at the chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
A seat at the table, you bet.
You bet. So that they have been recognized as an integral force in the total military structure. And they're building their framework. And I always used to joke that every state thinks they're the best. So when you're the best of the best, this is outstanding. So, again, one more for the audience out here. Let's give them a whoop.
For the listeners, they may not understand, Commissioner, but the opportunity for this show came right at the end of your term as the Adjutant General.
Yes.
And you told me to go meet that other two-star fellow, the current Adjutant General, Rick Nash.
Yeah.
And we sat down and talked about the opportunity, and he said, let's go.
Yeah.
And it's 16 months later, and this is about the 72nd or 73rd show, and we've had the opportunity to go to Kuwait. And we're up here at Craigin's today, and we've got some exciting new trips coming up. And I would tell the listeners in the audience that all of those podcasts are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. And there's a search thing on there, and if you just put in Commissioner Shalado, every time you've been on the show, it comes up. If we put in the Adjutant General, all of his messages have come up, and we've had a lot of fun with it, and it's kind of fun to be recognized.
Oh, yes, but I think your listenership has gone way up also.
It has, and as we add radio stations, Little Falls is the first syndicate, where we're going to try to add a few more around the state. I think the listenership will still keep going up, and it's fun to tell the story of the military in Minnesota, the Yellow Ribbon programs, all of the support for the troops, and to rally that cause so that we can really take care of today's troops and their families.
What I like about it is, like Colonel St. Sauber said, he's got 22,000 veterans in his immediate trade area, if you will, the Little Falls radio station. And so this message is getting out, and that is going to be absolutely critical to the future. But we got a guest here that I want to talk to.
We do. From the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard, we have the Brainerd area ride captain, Rick Johnson. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having us here today.
Rick, I know that I think I saw last year's annual report. You had something like over 500 missions, and you raised a lot of money, and you also support the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, which takes care of the needs of our military family when they're out there. You've been busy, haven't you?
We have had a very busy year, which is not always a good thing, but we've had a lot of good missions also. We've been able to support our deployment troops and hopefully soon our returning troops coming back.
All the deployment ceremonies and the return home ceremonies, and of course if we lose someone you go to those.
Yep.
But a little over a year ago there was an event where the commissioner retired.
Yes,
you had a couple of surprises there, didn't you, Commissioner?
Well, you know, I want everyone to listen, hear me when I say this, is I hold the Patriot Guard with reverence. They have been at every critical time for the Guard and the military, all components. They have always been there. They for a lot of families, their presence was a statement of caring that they will live with for the rest of their lives. So when you see a Patriot Guard member, you just say thank you to them because they are just truly, truly special. Now, the event you're talking about was my retirement. Now, one thing I liked about the Patriot Guard, and I always believed, was that they just don't go out for anything. They make sure it's something related to their mission. Well, when I retired, they put me in a holding room, so that we could march in. And I said, no, I want to meet the people. Well, we marched in totally. I was blindsided on this, but there was a wraparound of that total room, about 200 of you. But here's the thing I want the listening audience to understand. when they were done, I mean, I was in awe, but when they were done, 350 people that were there that night stood up, and they applauded and applauded and applauded until the last member was out of that room. And that is the respect this organization gets from the military community. So,
and they also gave you a vest that day in case you want to join the
line. I still have that, Jess. Now I got to get the motorcycle.
Well, there is, in that fallacy, there we do accept members that drive cars also, and we're actively seeking.
No. I got to have the motorcycle.
And, Rick, while you're on that point, who's eligible to be a Patriot Guard rider?
Everybody. We will take veterans. We'll take active duty. We'll take civilians, men and women, children, anybody that will step up, hold a flag, and show the reverence to our veterans and what they have done for our country.
And it's an emotional experience when we see the Patriot Guard there at a funeral or anything else. It's overwhelming. It's
fantastic. You notice that we will be wearing sunglasses most of the time because it is very emotional for what we do. Yeah. It is but what an honor it is to do it.
All about those three words.
Honor, dignity, and respect. And we do pledge to give our American military men and women that exact thing. That is our pledge to them, that we will see that they never receive dishonor.
Rick, I want to thank you for joining us here live at Craigan's Resort on Gull Lake. Commissioner, we've just got about 2 minutes left, and you get about half of them. What did we learn this weekend, and did we discover anything? Are we doing all right?
We're doing well. We're doing extremely well. It's the old phrase of baby steps. The listening on it, there seems to be a changing. You know, the war in Iraq is declared kind of what over, I guess. You know. But there's troops still coming home, and they will be coming home for a long period of time. I want to just take a moment to talk about serving our troops. They are just truly tremendous. But they need some support also. They've been doing this now for close to 10 years. Right? 04 was their first one. So if any of the listening audience can help them, and I think you may have their
Well, they've got plenty of volunteers, and they've got a good core of people to help supply the stakes and so forth, but they're always looking for funds. And this is a uniquely Minnesota type of thing, because who else would get 15,000 stakes together and serve 2,500 of them at the River Center and travel halfway around the world with the rest of them and fight to put on a real steak dinner with people like Mancini and all those folks?
And they take a lot out of their own personal pocket, so it's any help they can get would be greatly appreciated.
And they did a great job yesterday, and I understand from our military producer that everybody was happy with the results of all of that yesterday. Commissioner, any final thoughts? We're just about at the end of our hour.
All right. If you're a veteran, I want you to visit with your county veteran service officer or the family assistance center and so forth. Minnesota has 380,000 veterans plus, but only 28% of them have stepped forward to check out what is available to them. So that's our mission. That's our goal. And get to work.
All right, Commissioner. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We're just about out of time for this broadcast live from the dining room at Craigan's Resort in Gull Lake. I'd like to thank you for listening to this edition of the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, and I'd like to thank our guest, my co-host, Commissioner Larry Shelido from Craigan's, Catherine Stotka, Steve Campos from Washington County Yellow Ribbon, Mike Farron from the Family Assistance Centers, Colonel Scott St. Salver, the commander of Camp Ripley, and, of course, Rick Johnson from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. We also like to thank Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash, for his weekly visits. And please join us next week as we talk about the Family Readiness Academy and Veterans in Piping. That's next Sunday morning at 7 right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, and next week on Q92, WIRQ, out of Little Falls. I'm Tom Lyons, live from the dining room at Craigan's Resort in Gull Lake, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm located in Minneapolis. He's also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force. We hope you found this program to be informative and entertaining. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs. Podcasts of this program are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Thanks for listening.